Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has existed.
You have an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It is a very special episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. I feel like we've been having very special episodes here recently. Today is Man Panel Monday, and I have two of my favorites, Jason Mesnick and Bob Guinea, joining me as co-hosts. What's up, gentlemen?
Hello. Hi, guys. Yo.
Bob, you used to do the panel all the time, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to do the man panel on the Today Show a lot. It was a lot of fun.
Bob, we did it together a few times.
Yeah, we did. We definitely did. Got us in a lot of trouble, actually. I realized how little my opinion really matters when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Did you ever feel like, did you hear feedback from that panel?
Oh, my God. Like a crazy amount. And it's... when I was The Bachelor many, many years ago, they didn't have social media back then. And so what we had were all these chat rooms where people would go in and basically just shred you. And it reminded me of that. Like, I'd go on there and give advice. Like, why does my man do this? And I'd be like, I think your man's doing this because of this. And I was the nice one. And, I'd get just destroyed.
Where did the feedback come from? Twitter or something?
Twitter, Instagram, they would post the links on Twitter and Instagram primarily, and Facebook, I suppose, as well. But I don't go to Facebook as much, so I would just get lit up on Instagram. Oh, my God. It was, you know what it was? It was humbling. Made sure you had a nice, thick skin. Didn't take yourself a little too seriously. You know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Same thing's going to happen today on here. So I'm glad you guys joined us. It's a lot of fun.
Hey, drink heavily.
We, Jason, yes. Really cool fact. before we get going today, when we did the man panel together, we actually were able to be there on the last, I think it was the second to last day before Kathy Lee Gifford officially left the Today Show, had our last episode. It was special for me. That was a big deal.
It was. Yeah, it was 2 years ago. You know, it was right before COVID. And so it was kind of crazy because when we first started off doing that, we were doing those twice a month, I think it was. Then it went to once a month, and then it went to kind of every now and then in spurts, you know. But it was Kathy Lee's favorite segment. So when Kathy Lee left the show, we kind of left with her with the intention of coming back. But then COVID happened and the whole world changed and we haven't gotten the call yet. But this might get us back on their radar, guys.
Yeah,
this might do it.
Yeah, we did it with towards the end. We were doing it with Jimmy Allen, Jason, the country singer. And he was kind of like
such a great guy.
Yeah, great guy. He was kind of coming up and he was popular back then. I think he had a number one when we did it. And now he's like one of the biggest, if not the biggest thing in country music.
Oh, yeah. He's everywhere. He's married now, too. I don't know if you remember, Ben, but back then he would always be like, so, guys, I mean, you know, what if I was the next Bachelor? What would you guys think about that? Like, he was always picking our brains. I'm like, you'd be amazing, man.
But now great. He's married, very happily married, which is good for him. He's a good dude.
Yes.
Jason, there was a question that was asked. We actually went out to, we had a special episode. We went out to the Monterey Peninsula with Chris Harrison, if you remember who that is, the former host of The Bachelor. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rings a bell.
Wells Adams and Andrew Firestone. The four of us went out to Monterey Peninsula and played. Wells had a really interesting question for Andrew. And I want to ask you guys the same thing. How often do you get recognized from The Bachelor today? You're in very similar places in life that Andrew's in. I won't tell you what Andrew answered. I would like to hear from the two of you. We'll start with Jason.
That's a good question. I mean, it's been a heavy, like, downhill fall over the last decade.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be like people would say something and then it went to like, hey, then you'd hear him whisper as you walk by, right? Like, is that the dude from The Bachelor? Now, I don't even, it's probably like once a week at the most. I mean, it's not, it still happens, of course, but it's not like I just wrote a kid's children's book and we were doing a signing nearby and people had no idea it was me, except for one person goes, wait, you're that dude? I was like, man, I'm not good at my marketing. What the hell?
Well, no, Jason, you know, to be fair though, you didn't have a beard back then. You know what I mean? Like, so I feel like the beard maybe kind of makes it more difficult for you to be recognized. You know what I mean? That's what I would think.
Yeah. What about you, Bob?
I still, you know, it's interesting. There are moments
where I get it
kind of a lot. And then there are other moments where, you know, I could have like a neon billboard pointing at me and being like, with a rose on it, being like, hey. But I was talking about this just the other day, how my mother still thinks that I am like Elvis Presley in her head. And she'll be like, oh, my gosh, I was at the grocery store today. And everyone's like, wait, you're Bachelor Bob's mom? I'm like, Mom, that's interesting, because I was at that grocery store, 2 days ago and no one even said a word to me. But you're in the chicken section and somehow they recognize you. Okay.
So, you know what's funny? My dad's very similar. My dad will go to the grocery store and we don't even live in the same state. But, you know, a decade, you know, 12 years later, he'll be up at the front of the line and he'll be like, you know, my son Jason was The Bachelor. Yeah. Out of nowhere. He's like, would you like paper or plastic? No.
That's my mom, dude. It's so funny. And my mom will be like,
tell it.
Oh, yes, I hear from Estella all the time. She reaches, you know, I'm like, really? Because she doesn't really talk to me very much, but that's nice, I think.
It does. I was going to say, it begs the question. Oh, I can get it. I totally understand it. I can relate to that. Jess and I were just talking about it last night. The people in our life, like the grandmothers, especially my grandmother, is still like very much into it. I can't imagine the things that are said to be like how they enter that into the conversation. Like, you're at the grocery store, somebody walks by People Magazine, and you just go, I remember when my son was on the front of it, and they go, what do you mean? Tell me more. And you're like, oh, never mind. It's not a big deal. He was just The Bachelor. Anywho, you might know him.
You may have heard of him. I don't know. Yeah, it's so that's cool. My mom for sure. Sounds like Jason. It sounds like we all got that family member. I like it.
I couldn't be a professional athlete, so I might as well do something that they're, you know, they can talk about. Jason, you just mentioned your children's book. Tell everybody about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I got a platform?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so going back, this is even before I was on The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. My son, when he first walked in on me taking a poop,
yeah,
he's like, well, what are you doing? And he was learning how to potty train. And he's like, well, you're making a funny face. And I said, well, everybody has a poo-poo face. There's no joke. And so he was three at the time. And he would go to everybody in his life, whether it was his teacher, his mom, or anybody, and ask them what their poo-poo face was.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So fast forward, I wrote this book. Again, it's 12 years ago, and it just came to life. The books just came in, and it's called What's Your Poo-Poo Face? And it's about a little boy that goes around. So we went from him going to ask his teacher and his mom and his dad to like going around the world with his imagination, asking dinosaurs and unicorns and mermaids, everybody, what their poo-poo face is.
So good.
Where can people find it?
But the thing you have to know is at the end of the story, he doesn't even figure out what his mom's poopy face is.
Is it?
So, because moms don't poop. Everyone knows that.
They never. That's not a thing. Now, Jason, if there's parents listening, why would they want to buy this to read with and alongside of their children? Then where could they find it?
No, it's so nice, man. It's really a potty training book. Targeted this. I mean, we wrote it when Ty was 3 years old, even before The Bachelor stuff, and about him learning how to potty train. And that's kind of the heart of it. You can buy it anywhere. You can buy it on Amazon, Etsy. We have a website, What's Your Poo-Poo Face? We haven't really done any real marketing for it quite yet. So this is my first like out there outside of the book signing the other day. So thanks, man. Yeah, look for What's Your Poo-Poo Face?
Can't imagine awesome. The people competing over that domain name. That's going to be a very interesting group of people. It was,
guys, by the way, while I was listening to that story, I just bought that domain.
And Bob, you are a part of the Almost Famous family right now. Here it's going great.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you.
We've talked about it, but just in case people missed it, tell everybody about your podcast that you have with Almost Famous.
Yeah, you know, when you first had, I think you were one of the first podcasts that I was on that actually people listened to. I think I said it then, I meant no disrespect, but I was like, how do you even listen to a podcast? Because I really didn't know. I'm like, I've done this podcast with you and Ashley a few times, and I don't really know where to listen to it at because I don't know how to find it. And that's only because I had come from the Sirius, you know, I had a show on Sirius XM for a little while, and I knew how to find that. I'm just clueless when it comes to technology. And anyway, Trista Sutter and I are doing the Almost Famous OGs, which is a spinoff, of course, of the Almost Famous brand that you and Ashley have done so amazingly well with. And when you guys went on a little hiatus, you let us plug in there and have some fun and tell some stories. And the Maz, Jason Masnick, you will be a guest soon, I'm sure, Mr. Masnick, sir. But we've been revisiting with some people from each of our seasons here and there, and it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. I actually like it, though, when we get into the IG versus OG, like, you know, how life has changed from when I was on the show. I was on the show 20 years ago, right? I was on the show in 2003, 2004, so, you know, 18 years ago, I guess. So it's been 18, 19 years ago. So it's fun to kind of reflect on that and see where we've gone. Like, now I finally have a reason to have someone, you know, watch Disney movies with me because I have kids. Back then, it just seemed creepy, I guess.
That's true. We talked about it with this last week when we were in the Monterey Peninsula, just about the evolution of the show, the differences in the show, the things that have happened. Before we get into headlines, there's been a lot of headlines recently of people speaking out against the show, past contestants, not as much leads. Every once in a while you get a lead that gets upset with something and they kind of come out against it. Very few times are people speaking out in support of the show. I think it's just kind of hard to do, and oftentimes you feel jaded somehow towards this thing that you went on. When you all were on the show, I guess we'll start here with Bob, because it is, you know, 20 years ago compared to 12 years ago, were people speaking out publicly against the show back then, or did you feel like the show was different where everybody was pretty happy coming off of it and getting to do it?
I mean, you know, everybody's going to be different. And I think you're always going to have, you know, we were all, we, all three of us actually were on The Bachelorette first, then The Bachelor. And I feel like back then, the only people that you really heard saying stuff were the guys who thought they should have been chosen to be The Bachelor when, and they'd be like, oh, well, they talked to me and I turned it down. That's why they went to Bob, you know, or whatever. You know, you would hear stuff like that. And, you know, you take it with a grain of salt at that time. And but I mean, I heard it every year, you know, and I'd go, I was kind of the guy that would be like, oh, they want to talk to me about the show. And yeah, you know, well, they asked me to do it. I said no. And I'm like, really? That's interesting. Because you sure seem to be, you know, enjoying your run from it and talking about it more than the guy they just asked to be The Bachelor. That's kind of weird. So, you know, but it's with a grain of salt, you know. And I will say, you know, I probably had a little bit of a period there because I had some legal issues with the Bachelor family at that time. And but, you know, I came out of it the other side. But I still, even when I was going through that, I wasn't talking ill about it because it gave me such an incredible experience. And the life that I had as a result of going on that show, even though I didn't marry someone from the show, was really, really awesome. Yeah. And so, I mean, I always looked at it from the standpoint of, you know, man, if would my life be like what it is right now if I hadn't done that? Likelihood is no. Even though it wasn't maybe exactly what I wanted from a romantic relationship or whatever, I was still at this place as a result of doing it. And so I was trying to always be the big picture guy. So, yeah, I definitely didn't hear it as much back then as I hear it now. And of course, that was a different time. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can say honestly, I don't think we were nearly socially aware as people are today, and for better or for worse. And, you know, so, I mean, from that perspective, I would say it was a little more of an innocent time of that show, of the show and everything else. I'd be interested to see, because Jason's right in the middle of us. I'd be interested to see, you know, his experience from that, too.
Yeah, you know, I was pretty negative. Like, I had a negative experience when it ended.
Yeah.
And had some harsh conversations with, like, it wasn't even about the public. It was like the behind the, oh, Molly's peeking in.
Hi, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
They all say hi. It's just some negative experience with all the production stuff. But I think I got past that. But what occurs to me about this kind of like being so more socially aware, and I've told this story a couple times, is that when they were asking me to be The Bachelor, and they said, you know, and I would ask every week, I would say, have they made a decision yet? Because decisions made by, you know, ABC. And I remember they came to me and they said, it was something really interesting. They said, well, they really want you to be The Bachelor, but they're not sure if America's ready for a Jewish guy to be The Bachelor. And I was like, well, I mean, and I know it's nothing against, like, the guy at ABC, Jeff, who made a decision, he was a Jewish guy. Mike Fleiss is a Jewish guy. So it had nothing to do with like their thoughts about Jewish people, but it really did at that point in time. And, you know, and I know it's all about ad dollars, but at that point in time, they were so afraid to shake what was happening. Like, there was conversations I remember back then about, you know, they would say, well, we don't think America's ready for a Jewish guy. Like, maybe they're not ready for somebody of color. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think that was right in the middle ground where, like, maybe they took somewhat of a risk on me. But I think if you look at it, like, I think anytime Judaism came up, they would cut it out. It ended up being like, hey, we're not going to even go there at this point.
I was going to say, I didn't even know that you were Jewish.
Yeah. Exactly.
I
mean, anytime that came up, whether it was like with my family or like, it was all cut out of the show. Like, we weren't ignoring it, but it was just, they didn't put it in the show. And I don't think it's anything, like, when I go back to it, like, Jeff and Mike and me, like, we're all, you know, not practicing real Jewish guys, heavily Jews, but like, it is in our family. But I think from that point on, like, things have changed dramatically in a good way.
You know, I had a little bit of that, I remember, too, because I was the first divorced bachelor.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, I don't know if America's ready for, but I got to be honest, I was sort of like, I was okay with not being the bachelor because I thought I was like the lovable loser from Trista's season. I'm like, man, I'm having a lot of fun. I don't know if I necessarily want to go on there and, you know, mess this up. But I remember them saying that, and I was like, well, if they're not, you know, I understand. That makes sense, you know, or whatever. And then they came back and were like, we want you to be that guy. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like Jason said, you know, I think we all probably had moments where we were irritated or whatever, but it was probably just the level of volume that we gave to it, right?
Yeah, and today it does. It feels like the people speaking up to are the ones that weren't chosen as leads, or that a lot of times it's like from the headlines, and we'll probably get into it today too when we read them, is the Paradise, is the spinoffs, like the show. They feel like the show gave them a bad edit, misedited them. And, you know, that's it's fair. It's hard to know if you're not there. You don't really know. But it does seem, just to drive the point forward, is that people are speaking up more and more. And I wonder if that will continue. And I wonder what that does to the show. Hey, I have a funny story before we take a break here and we start with the headlines. This last week, gentlemen, going back to if you get recognized or not, I was in Nashville, Tennessee with my in-laws and my brother-in-law, my wife, my sister-in-law. We had a wonderful dinner. We did like a dinner at three different spots, appetizers, dinner, dessert kind of thing. We're at one place called the Urban Cowboy in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm saying, if your egos ever get kind of like hurt, just go back to Nashville and sit in a spot for a bit. It's like the target demo for this show. Yeah. It feels like for the last 25 years. But we're at this place called the Urban Cowboy. It's awesome. Incredible pizza, incredible drinks. We're standing in line and with my father-in-law. My wife is to my left and my brother-in-law. And this group of girls come up and they go, "Can we get a picture?" I said, "Of course, take a picture." They're very sweet, very nice, asking me very easy questions. And then all of a sudden I'm standing there and I'm texting on my phone and I have an arm come and smack my arm down, like smack it down. I look over to my right shoulder, and this girl goes, "You're a liar." And I'm like, what? And she goes, "You're a liar." And I was like, in my head, I was thinking, this is either about to get really awkward for me or really weird, because everybody, like my wife is here, my father-in-law is here. She goes, "You're a liar." And I said, "I don't know how to answer that question, but like, can I get some context? Because, and if it's context that is my father-in-law shouldn't hear, can we step aside for this?" And she goes, "You're not Ben Higgins." And at that point, I realized that she was probably a couple drinks too deep. I don't know how to answer that. And so I said, "Here's my ID." And she goes, "I don't even care. You're not him. You're a liar," and walks away. And in that moment, I realized that it's been a couple years since I've really been out in public, like in a big group setting. It just hasn't happened. It's not like a part of my life as much anymore because of COVID and because I'm married and I like to stay inside. At that moment, I realized I don't miss it, guys. I don't miss it at all.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because as Molly walked by,
yeah,
and I was telling her I was doing this, she is like, "I am all done with, I don't even want to talk about The Bachelor anymore."
Yeah.
She is so anti, even like, I think it's just, she's had the conversation so many times.
Yeah.
That she's just like, "I'm done."
Yeah.
She says hi to you guys.
Yeah. Well, hello.
Oh, hi. Hey, Molly.
I get it. I bet my wife and I have talked about the show 5 times in our marriage or our time together in relationship. It just doesn't come up. And I get to still talk about it on here. So I get my, well, you know, everything I need out of it. Hey, we're going to take a break, gentlemen. When we come back, we do have some Bachelor headlines. Usually Ashley walks me through these. I'm not good at them because I don't typically know what's going on in pop culture and around the Bachelor world. She likes to, and she does know, and she's really good at it. So we're going to try to get through this together when we come back on this week's Monday Man Panel of the Almost Famous Podcast.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's time for this week's Bachelor headlines. We have a lot of them. They're good and juicy, and we have two gentlemen here who are going to help us break them down. Are you guys ready? Do you feel like you're like suited for this role? Do you feel like you're ready?
Suited and booted, buddy. I'm ready.
I don't even know what the heck we're talking about.
This is going to be a blast. This is going to be so good. Okay. First headline is this. Katie Morton teases moving in with her boyfriend, James Rowe, as soon as they can. Gentlemen, my question for you is, do you know Katie Morton? And do you recommend moving in with your boyfriend or girlfriend? Is there a certain time period that you think it works best?
I'll let Jason go first.
I think Katie Morton her family invented the seasoning salt.
Morton. I was going to say the same thing.
Were you really?
No.
I don't know who she is. But it's funny you say this because I remember I took a speech class in college, and my whole debate, actually the debate class, was on cohabitation. And I, being the liberal, you know, Northwesterner, took the side of absolutely, how are you going to know what it's like, how you're going to fit together, and debated against somebody who was against it. So I'm absolutely for it. I think it's a great idea. But and I've done it before, but it only works out some of the time.
Yeah.
I'd say 50% of the time it works out, 30% of the time. But I do think that's interesting because, Jason, you're now the father of a daughter. So the fact that you still have that feeling, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I probably feel better about my 17-year-old son doing it than my daughter doing it, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I too do not know Katie Morton, but I do love their salts and their spices. But I would say, I think you almost, in this day and age, I think there are some exceptions to that rule that really make it work. I think, Ben, you were an exception to that rule, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean,
where you guys didn't live together, and
we didn't. We kind of, I mean, you know, we always said like we would spend like time together. She didn't even live out here though, so it wasn't like we did like long distance up until the last like couple months before we got married.
Right. Yeah.
And which is when she moved here, you still lived separately for a couple months.
Yeah. We had, we got a house that she started to redo. We live in it now. I was up here a lot. I think we got a good taste of each other's like lifestyles and habits. I do, though, feel like we've learned a ton in the last 6 months on how each other function. Like, we're learning a lot, which I don't know. Maybe when you live with somebody before you get married, you kind of know. There's been a lot of surprises. Nothing, luckily for us, it's like bad. It's just like there's just different surprises that we have had to work through, including like how do you pack the dishwasher and why do you put bowls in the plate section when there's not enough room in the plate section for this? Like, those are conversations we have.
That's a valid argument, by the way. I'd take anybody on in that one. I'm a big dishwasher guy. Yeah, I agree. I lived, Canyon and I didn't live together before we got married. For the majority of our relationship. And then when I moved to Seattle and moved in next to Jason and Molly, that's when we moved in together. So we had been dating long distance up until that point. And then we moved in together in Seattle. And so I agree with you. You learn a lot. You learn a lot about somebody the second you start living with them. And some of it's good, some of it's not so good. So might as well get it out of the way early. Figure it out.
Katie Morton is saying that they're going to move in as soon as they can. So they're going that route. She's dating James Rowe, who is a professional soccer player. Katie's been talking about this relationship now for a bit. She's really happy. In fact, I remember her coming on the Almost Famous podcast and kind of hinting that she was dating somebody, but she hadn't announced it publicly yet. But that is a big deal. Either way, no matter what your, I guess, belief or what you think is right for your relationship, it sounds like Katie is in a good place with her new boyfriend, and so we celebrate that. Well, speaking of boyfriends, everything we need to know about Madison Pruitt's new BF. Do you know who Madison Pruitt is?
I'm Googling her. I know that name. Yes. She was a runner-up of something.
Runner-up. Was she on American Idol?
No, she was. I do know her. She was the girl that was the pilot guy's.
Yeah, Peter.
Mom's choice. Like, mom loved that one.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
And then they ended up fighting.
Sweet girl. They had a big falling out on after the final rose. Well, Madison has been pretty close to her chest about any of her dates since the time on the show. But recently, because I think of the series of the relationship, she has came out publicly that she is dating Grant Trout. Now, you might recognize the Trout name. Kenny Trout, Grant's dad, is the billionaire founder of XL Communication and owner of Windstar Farms. They're out of Texas. So she is dating into a billionaire's family.
What is going on here?
I say well done. I say they should get married immediately.
And hold on a second. How come, okay, prehistoric times with Bob and I, when there wasn't social media, you'd fall off the show and you had to go to the bar or wherever else, like a normal person. Now that people fall off the show, they're dating. Is anybody dating Brad Pitt yet? like you fall off the show and all of a sudden you're dating celebrities or billionaires.
Yeah. Or like we have a headline here where somebody went on a date with Harry Styles. So yeah, I mean, I think nowadays, yep, if you're like known from the show, I think you've got a shot at like really getting in that Hollywood dating scene. Now, this isn't a Hollywood dating story, though. This is a story that I think they've probably met at a conference. I believe, from my understanding, that Grant speaks a lot at churches. I don't know if he is a pastor by profession, but Madison also speaks at churches a lot, kind of does the traveling circuit. And so I'm sure they kind of met through that. Also, one of Madison's big storylines during her time on the show was that she loved basketball, and Grant was a point guard for UC Santa Barbara, but he had a hip injury, so he didn't play a lot. But yeah, the Trout family. In fact, guys, I was Jessica and I really have done a few things with Madison. We really like Madison, and so when they announced their relationship, we kind of sat down and did a little research, and we saw that they're at the Kentucky Derby. We were like, that seems really interesting that they would go to the Kentucky Derby together. Well, I believe that Grant's father owns a few horses that probably was racing in the Kentucky Derby. So that's a good time.
Well, he owns Rich Strike, who is horse number 21. Thank you, sir, because that was a nice day for me, too.
Did you take Rich Strike?
I did. I sure did.
How did you? Why would you even do that? What?
So this was my 17th Derby in a row, and I love it. And I this year, you know, we always do this big bet where we all put together some money, all of us buddies, and we do a superfecta lottery bet, right? So a few years back, we actually won on it, which was great, but you're dividing it by 20, so it's not that substantial. And then this year we did it again, and I was just a little bored with the fact that I had to wait till after the race to count out the tickets and look to see who won. So I went up to the window with a little winnings that I had from the race previous and just put $100 on all the long shots. And so I just went through the book and every long shot, I'm like, give me $100 to win on this guy, $100 to win on that guy type of thing. And as I was walking away from the window, one of my buddies was walking up and they ran out of time to make their bets. So he split it with me. So he basically gave me half and we were like, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. And sure enough, we had that horse, though, in the book. It was horse number 20 that was listed at like 50 to 1. And he went off at 80 to 1, which was pretty awesome.
Oh damn.
Holy moly. What a day.
Yeah, pretty fun.
You're one of the success stories. That's a good story. I was at a horse race this weekend in Nashville, Tennessee called Steeplechase, and everybody was talking about, what if you would have put $100 on Rich Strike? What if you would have put $1,000 on Rich Strike? There's got to be those people out there. Well, I know one of them, I can say.
Yeah,
I have this guy that I know.
Congrats, man. That's sweet.
Yeah, that's a
big thanks, deal. Guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Well, we were just kind of mentioning this headline a second ago, but let's get into it now. Kate Gallivan, you might remember her from her time on The Bachelor. It was a big storyline when she was on The Bachelor, at least on the first couple nights, that she had gone on a date with Harry Styles. Well, here's the headline. Kate Gallivan shares the story of her date with Harry Styles. Now, gentlemen, it wasn't received well by the Bachelor public, I guess, because people are saying that's not true. Prove it. You can't, prove that it happened. And people are also saying, well, how does Harry Styles feel that you're using his name for credibility? So recently, Kate Gallivan went on Clickbait with Joe, Natasha, and Tia and shared her story. She confirms, I did go on a date with Harry Styles in 2014. It was right when I moved to LA, which was such a mind F because I was like, is this just what happens when people lived here? It was so insane. He was still in One Direction at the time. He was 20 in 2014 and I was 24. She went on to explain how she and Harry connected, sharing, I was an assistant at CAA. That was my first job in LA. It was so crazy to me to be in such a nice building with all these famous people. Harry's agent ended up setting it up, and we texted for a little bit, went to Petit Hermitage. Do you know that restaurant?
Yeah, it's a great, I do. I love that restaurant.
Oh, I actually have been there.
Yeah, it's really good.
Never even heard of it. I guess it's in West Hollywood, and there was no paparazzi. They had a suite. Interaction. He was very engaging and curious about her life, and I thought it was so cool and a change of pace. That was where it played out. So, hey, she's confirming it. She's given details around it. Harry's never spoke out against it. So, Bachelor Nation, it's time to accept it. Kate Galvin went on a date with Harry Styles.
I think just everybody's jealous. It's funny because even Molly and my 9-year-old talk about Harry Styles.
Yeah.
I would go out with him too.
That's fair.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Yeah. He's a good looking guy. Come on.
Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pamper Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pamper Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy, ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, two more headlines here for you all before we close out. Big one here. We kind of mentioned it a little bit ago. Blake Hortzman and Natasha Parker ignite feud over fairness of Bachelor in Paradise. This is according to Us Weekly. Now, Blake Hortzman, who is a friend of mine, Natasha is a friend of mine as well. I like them both, but this was interesting to watch. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Blake, in summary, came on his Instagram. People were asking him questions. They were talking about the editing of Bachelor in Paradise. And he said, hey, just be careful and stay away from any company people, meaning anybody that has a podcast with Warner Brothers. If they go onto the beach, they're going to get a good edit because Warner Brothers wants them to look good. It's good for their podcast. It's good for their brand, et cetera, et cetera. He said, don't get on their bad side. Well, Natasha comes out, who has a podcast with Warner Brothers, clickbait, and says, that's not fair. That's not true. She feels like Blake was diminishing her personal experience on Bachelor in Paradise by saying that she just got a good edit. She says pretty much, if you're like toxic, then, or I guess what she's really saying here, I'll just quote her cause it's going to be more fair to her. She said this via her Instagram story on May 12th. She says, I have a problem. If you're taking what Blake is saying and you're rallying behind it, you're basically excusing toxic behavior, which means she's saying, hey, if you're not doing well on the beach, you're not going to look good in the public eye. And if we just start saying everybody that goes on the show because they work for the company looks good, well, we're excusing toxic behavior. Gentlemen, what do you think?
Man, I'll tell you what. That beach show scares me. I don't know how else to say it. You go on that show, it's basically like you're going on to Survivor, Real World. You're going on, you're building alliances. It's terrifying. I got to be honest. So I think, you know, you go on those shows, you're definitely going to have some people coming with some angles. They're smart. They've been in the series. They know how it plays. So, you know, I'm sure there's merit to both sides of what each of them are saying. But my guess would be, at the end of the day, you know, the edit is really up to what you give them in content. You know, if you don't say it, they can't use it, right?
You guys might be able to help me out. I actually, one of the I can't even tell you what season it was. They had Molly and I go down there to, like, talk to some of the couples.
Yeah.
And this is not on camera by any means, but somebody, Ben, you might remember this. Somebody jumped out of their hotel room and broke their ankle.
Yeah, because
they were. Does this ring a bell at all?
I thought it was because they were messing around with the producer.
Somebody was messing around with the producer and somebody jumped out of their hotel room onto like tile ground in Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they got a fine edit though.
Yeah. I think they were fine. I mean, you know, it's hard to say. Again, you can't say it without being there.
Right.
It's just interesting to see two, you know, cast members arguing about this. I've always said I've never, and from my own personal experience, I've never been on a show inside this franchise where somebody looked worse than what they behaved like on the show, other than Olivia Caridi, who I do think was unfairly criticized. I don't even know if she looked that bad on television. I think she was just like the only villain on the season, so people just chose to go after her. So I don't know. I haven't been around, I guess, enough of these shows to know if there's like always a villain or if they can edit it in.
But I know that they've got to be able to, I remember, and this is granted, it's, you know, a lifetime ago when I was on The Bachelorette, But I remember something was going on between a couple guys that were drinking.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go up and kind of break up the disagreement. And, yeah. And I was walking up there, and I remember a producer pulling me aside and saying, no, 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 we don't want you to get involved. You got to stay clean.
Mm-hmm.
So they already had, you know, because they had their eye on me as a clean participant of The Bachelorette, that, you know, they have to have something up their sleeves in some way.
They have some big
want people, you know, so... Granted, I could be remembering something foggy since it was in black and white.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it happens. But it's just interesting to see those two arguing about it because they have two different experiences on the show.
You know them both. I mean, you know, from what they're saying, it's got to be... I mean, do you have a specific feeling on it or are you sort of just...
I think, you know, it's funny. Blake is a buddy of mine. Blake made some bad decisions before he went on Paradise. I don't know. I bet because of those decisions, I don't know if you can call him even bad. He made some decisions, right? He had dated or hooked up with multiple people going into that season. And I'm sure when the show found out about it, they put him in some really uncomfortable, where there was no right way around it.
Right.
You know, situations when he was on the beach, which probably made him feel like you've cornered me. You've made me look bad before I can even explain myself. Natasha. Yeah. You know, she got a lot of love this year because she couldn't find love on the beach and everybody kind of like pushed her aside or didn't like really engage in her or share the similar feelings that she did. And so, you know, I think for her, that was her experience. I don't know if there was a bad way. Maybe there was that we weren't seeing, but I just think there's two people having very different experiences from the show and also two people benefiting very differently from the show. Blake is a DJ. He's very busy doing that. Natasha works for Warner Brothers, and she's probably very thankful for that. So two totally different experiences, two totally different paths, and we get to see kind of their feelings towards the show play out right in front of us on social media.
Yeah.
It's always so much fun.
Yeah. So much fun.
So much fun.
Hashtag like. I'll hashtag like them both.
Yeah, we got to. They're good people.
That's my savvy social media approach.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago. But like you're doing all right. all right. Bachelor in Paradise. Speaking of Bachelor in Paradise, Demi Burnett, who has been on Bachelor in Paradise a couple times, fan favorite. Everybody loves her. She was kind of a villain or kind of like somebody that people talked a lot about, went on Paradise. People fell in love with her even more than they did before. She went on Paradise again this last season. Didn't work out for her. Well, she is quoted here, and this is where as much as we can really say about it. She's quoted saying she will never go on Paradise again. I'm way out of their league. That's what the 27-year-old reality star exclusively told Us Weekly on Thursday, May 12th, while attending the Rolling Stones Time Meta Creators issue event at the Hearst Estate in Beverly Hills. So I think we can count on Demi Burnett never attending Bachelor in Paradise again because, hey, she's out of their league now.
God, it makes us want her even more.
Yeah, I know. Gosh.
You good.
Bring her on.
Yeah.
Good for her confidence.
I'm going to get a petition going, I think.
Yeah. I mean, hey, she's confident. Also, last week we talked about Scott Disick and Bachelor's current Olympios being seen together in Miami. Scott Disick, from I guess what Ashley was telling me, and I think I do know this, he's been on the Kardashians. I believe he dated one of the girls.
He has a kid. He has a kid. What? I know this.
With Courtney?
He's got children with one of them.
I think it's with Courtney.
With Courtney.
Yep.
I know this. I know this story. Yes.
Okay. Well, they were seen together out and about in Miami. They're not dating. Nothing serious is going on. That was shut down. So I just want to fill that gap in because there's a lot of people wondering what's going to be going on there. They're just hanging out. I don't know. Going out to a nice dinner as friends. That's always good.
Hey. She's cute. She was the one that was I believe she referred to herself as Platinum.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, wait, what was Platinum?
Yeah, the Platinum.
Corinne.
No, she's Platinum.
The Platinum Vagine. The Vagine. I believe it was. Yeah. Yes.
Good for her.
I thought she was good TV, man. So was Scott Disick. So I could imagine the two of them would be entertaining together.
I would love to sit down at dinner with the both of them, especially if like, they're trying to figure out a love connection. That would be fantastic see how they are describing themselves to each other.
If Lord Disick is in Platinum have a chance to split an appetizer, I'm there for it. Count me in.
Two last headlines. I'm going to actually save what I believe the biggest for last. So Here's one headline. The Bachelor is renewed for season 27 by ABC. That's a big deal. I don't know if anybody was questioning if it would be renewed or not. But it is getting renewed, even though the ratings have been down over the last couple years here. ABC is going to continue to air The Bachelor. So, hey, we still have a show to talk about. That's big for us. Gives me another year, I bet, a couple years of employment. Hey, biggest headline of the week. Congratulations to somebody that I respect, admire, really two people that I respect, admire, really wanted to see, especially JoJo Fletcher, shine bright and find somebody perfect for her. And she did, because her and Jordan Rogers are married after 6 years of dating. That happened this last weekend. They are happy. Oh. They're off now. It looked like to their honeymoon. Bachelor Nation pals, Raven Gates and Adam, and as well as Becca Tilly, were among the attendees. So from everybody here at the Almost Famous Podcast, especially me, congratulations to the two of them. They seem great together.
Where'd they go on their honeymoon today, anybody know?
I don't know yet. We're going to find out. We'll break that down next week.
I loved JoJo. I thought she was a great season to watch. And
yeah.
And Jordan, I mean, you know, I'm sure that dude has been, you know, he's heard enough about his brother to last him a lifetime at this point. So,
yeah.
But I always thought they seemed like they had a really great relationship, you know, from what I've seen and who I know that know them. So I think that's pretty awesome. Good for them.
Good.
Yeah. Congrats to them. That's sweet.
Yep. Yep. I need to find out where they went on the honeymoon. I'm sure it's someplace cool. I don't even know if they're sharing it yet. You don't really want to share that, right? If you're on your way there, because I'm sure the two of them would get a lot of cameras.
Where do they live? Do you know?
Ben? All over the place. They've been seen in Nashville. They've been seen, for the most part, in Puerto Rico. I also know that JoJo was living in Dallas as of a few years ago. So I think they kind of bounce around now. I do believe their main hub is Puerto Rico, though, at this point.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, going down with all the crypto kings.
Yeah, I love it down there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So, hey, guys, follow my lead here in a second as we close. You just got to kind of copy what I say, but use your name to fill the blank. We'll see how you do. It was awesome hanging out with you all. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for being here again. What's your poo-poo face? Or what's your what face?
You're doing it. You didn't mean to do it.
Yeah. What's your poo-poo face? By Jason Mesnick. Everywhere you can find books. Make sure to check out Bob Guinea and Trista Sutter on their podcast. Just thanks for hanging out today. Thanks for doing the little man panel. It's been a lot of fun. But with that, this has been another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. I've been Ben.
This has been another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. I've been Bob.
This has been another episode of the Almost Famous Podcast. This is Bob, Ben, Jason.
There
Bob,
you go. Perfect. Bob, Ben. We'll talk to you later, everybody.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
This sun season, evolve your sun care with new Banana Boat 360 coverage.
With advanced control mist, it's a new way to spray.
It's an all-new bottle for an all-new mist experience that smells great and is incredibly light on your skin. Better control means coverage that you can count on. To customize your spray, tap the trigger lightly to cover targeted areas or pull the trigger fully for a long, continuous spray, ensuring long-lasting Banana Boat protection. Plus, it's refillable.
From sweat-resistant, sport formula to kids SPF 50+. Now, I have to wear sunscreen every day. That is one of the things that has
existed.
You have
an esthetician wife.
I have an esthetician wife. It is her number one recommendation for people. If you do nothing else, wear sunscreen. So when I'm out and about, when I'm on the lake this year, when I'm playing golf, yeah, protection from Banana Boat 360 coverage will be absolutely essential. So shop Banana Boat 360 Mist at Walmart, Target, or Amazon.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.